So you grew up on this farm. You were here, was a tiny child?
I was born in 1952, and we sold the farm in 1979 after my father died. So for that time.
So you've grown up in quite an isolated sort of situation, haven't you, down on this farm? What other memories have you got being a small child in this beautiful landscape, quite a lonely farmhouse? What's it like?
Well, I have no bad memories of my childhood whatsoever. It was I think it was one of the happiest times of my life. And we were not that isolated, really, because I had lots of relations that lived around. And I had a sister. I was 16 months older then, and she was my best friend. So we played together all the time. So I never felt isolated.
It was quite interesting for me just driving in here that actually this is a bit different from the landscape, certainly in the High Peak, in that you have got lots of little linked farmsteads. So it's quite a community, really, isn't it? You'd only have to walk a quarter of a mile or something to your nearest neighbours?
Here, living next door, was an auntie and an uncle and two cousins. And he was, I think, our favourite uncle. And, of course, they were two boys and, you know, we were two girls. So I think Uncle Bob always spoilt us. And I can remember if my dad wouldn't let us do anything or my mum wouldn't let us do anything, then we would come round here and Auntie Fanny and Uncle Bob did. He's going to get away with murder.
Were you expected to help a lot as a little girl? Did you help out?
Oh, yes. We had jobs we had to do when we came back from school. We had to collect the eggs, which we had in houses all around the farm. And we had to put the units together, go and collect the cows in the summer because they were locked in a field, sort of down that huge big field there. And as we grew up, our summer holidays were spent haymaking, driving a tractor. We had a big Fordson Major. And the clut is a sort of high off the ground. And we were only tiny. We had to stand on this with 2 feet to make all our weight to make this go. We would be sort of driving the tractor while they just loaded the bales up. Yeah. Because that was the easier for us to do because we were not old enough to load. Although when we did get old enough, we definitely had to stack. Do all of the haymaking. That's how we spent our summer holidays, really, haymaking.
So what did you have then, animal-wise?
We had cows and sheep. Never anything else. My dad never kept pigs. No. Just cows and sheep, really.
What breeds did he have in
Frisians.
Those days?
Frisians.
So even then it was Frisians?
It was. We had a Frisian herd with a few Guerneys and Jerseys just to keep
the cream.
To keep the cream.
There's milk churns up the end of the lane, was it?
No, I don't know. I don't remember that. It was churns. They would come down the lane and collect it. About 9:30 every...
That's right, yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
We'd collect the churns, yes. Because we had there's a huge trough down on the farm next door and the milk churns were kept in the water in the milk trough.
Right.
And then every morning we would have to take them to the milk stand.
How many cows were there?
I would be able to count it up. They all had names.
Yeah.
But, no, we kept more than 20.
So it was good land, this, was it? Good pasture?
I think that land is better than this, wasn't it? Well, it used to be. I'm not sure what it is now.
What do you remember about the care of the sheep? Who would do the work with the sheep?
My dad. We didn't have a huge flock of sheep. Again, maybe about 30. I don't really like sheep.
Do you like the cows?
I liked the cows better, much better. But I'm not a huge sheep person.
Was there any sort of degree of camaraderie amongst farmers around here?
I think, yes, it did when my cousins lived here. And also when the Coopers lived at the Sitch, which was the next farm over. I can remember them helping with the hay.
So you've seen these big changes and the intensification of farming. When do you think or feel that it changed the most, the big periods of change?
You see, because it's 79, it's a long time ago to be out, and I've not really been involved in farming since 1979. So I think it is intensified now because all of the hedgerows have been taken out. There used to be 3 fields on our land, and they've now, it's just one huge field. So they've taken two hedges out.
Yeah,
because it makes it easier now, doesn't it? Because they've got the huge tractors, the huge machines. Whereas I can remember is when we had a horse, we had a white horse called Dick. And, you know, he used to pull the trailer and we used to get the hay on there and, but now it's all these huge machines.
Did you have hay ricks or was it, you were baling at that stage? Were you?
No, I can remember the hay ricks.
Yeah, I remember making hay ricks. Yeah,
I can remember. Because Matty's husband, Uncle Fred, he was the one who would be, who was the master of hay ricks.
Yeah.
There's a real art, isn't there, to laying a hay rick.
There is,
being the one in the central.
I can remember where we used to position every hay rick in every field.
Can you describe the hay making? Tell us, you know, how it was cut and what was done then.
When we used the horse, I can remember the horse being used to gather the hay on carts. I'm too young to really remember what he would use to cut them. But certainly I can remember when he used a tractor and...
Would they used to pitchfork it?
I was going to say that you'd pitchfork it up onto the trailer, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Pitchfork it up on the trailer and then...
Definitely.
Download it at the other end.
I can remember Hamish, when he used a pitchfork and you had to sort of... And it took me forever to get that balance of trying to lift it up.
But then I can remember when we transferred to the, when my dad bought a baler and it was marvellous. Flipping heck. So much easier. And, I can remember that, definitely.
Was it yellow?
Yes.
It was. One of them.
Yeah.
And now when you see hay bales, you think, hallelujah, someone's still making hay.
Yeah. I know.
It's not even any hay. Yeah.
But my sister then, and we had to go around every field, where, you know, when we were off, and rake all the last
waste any of it, did
No, you didn't.
The business about spending your summer holidays haymaking was the be all and end all. It was so important, wasn't it, to get done.
Your work then was seasonal. There were the seasonal things. I mean, what else can you remember about the seasons through the year? Because you'd have your lambing and all that.
Yep, I can remember, definitely. Because at the weekends we would have to help, Yvonne and I. And I used to hate the winters because on a Saturday morning we would have to clean out all of the shippens with a wheelbarrow, a brush and a shovel. And that was our job. We cleaned out when the cows were in for winter because they were tied up in a shippen. I mean, now they have huge...
They're not restrained,
which is nicer, obviously, for the cow. Yeah. Because I never thought about how a cow would feel just standing in the same position, you know, for about 5 or 6 months or however long. I think my dad used to let them out into the yard, sort of rotate them. Mm-hmm. And if the weather was nice, he would let them out and then put them back in.
Mm-hmm. So that was from when, November to...
And definitely not until the 1st of May. It could be beautiful weather... It could be fantastic weather, but my father never, ever let them out before the 1st of May, ever. Even if you had a scorching April, they would be in.
So what happened when they came out? What did they do?
Went absolutely. They would let them out. They would just skip off and, didn't they, run around. It was wonderful watching the cows being let out for the first time after the winter.
Much bellowing, I bet.
Frolicking and... Yeah. But then, of course, they had a change of diet. And that was not good. when you had to clean the shippers out then.
It just really occurs to me that in our culture, in this period in history sort of thing, in the West, we don't tend to think of children as having a role in the economy of the household, the work of the household, the graft of the household. But mainly speaking, children are counted out of the picture, aren't they?
I think it was expected. When I was young, definitely it was expected of us that we all had little jobs. I mean, I can remember we used to sell eggs to the old Lion's stamp on them. And I can remember one of my first jobs and my sister's job was collecting the eggs and washing them. And putting them, you know, you had a big sort of crate. Putting them in, you know, the egg trays and then the egg man would come and collect them, I don't know, every week or every couple of days, I can't remember. And, you know, we came home from school and we had set jobs to do. I came home from work. And when Yvonne and I were older, we used to help my dad milk because there was no one else. And so I would come home from work and just put my farming clothes on and go and help my dad to milk. And then my sister would come home from work. We used to take it in turns. She came home from work later than me, so I always had to do about an hour of her milking.
So what were you doing then as a job?
I worked in a nursery school. I was a nursery nurse, so obviously I finished at 3:30. Mm. But I had about an hour's drive because I worked in the potteries. Mm. Well, just the other side of Endon, really. Mm. So I would be home for about 4:30. My dad used to go out milking at 5:00. So, of course, I would be home. But Yvonne would not get home till about 6:00. Even if it was not my turn, I would have to go out and do it.
Then as now, of course, it's an incredible tie, isn't it, having a dairy herd? So not a lot of breaks or holidays.
No, I never had a holiday with my dad.
No.
Never, ever had a holiday with my dad. I cannot remember my dad having a holiday. I had one holiday while we had the farm, and that was with my mum and my sister and my brother, one of my brothers, my youngest brother. And we went to a caravan in town, and that's because he had been diagnosed with diabetes, and we with Les Riley, and he came with us, and that's the only holiday we had together as a family. I never ever spent a holiday with my dad ever.
That's a big thing to miss, isn't it? Holidays,
it is,
feel very important to us now, don't they? Mm.
But you see, he had no one. Mm. You know, we didn't have anyone who could. Could milk night and morning.
It didn't really occur to them to take a break, did it?
No.
They didn't, if there were people that were available to do the work, they wouldn't know the system, or they wouldn't know the intricacies of your kitten, or the way you wanted it doing. And I think, you know, letting somebody else come in and do that work just wasn't on their radar at all, really.
No. Because all the cows were milked in a certain order.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go start at that one at one end of the shipping and work down. They'll go to the next shipping and work down. Mm. I don't know why, you know. And I know we always started with that cow there. And I mean, I knew, obviously, my sister knew, you know, my mum and dad knew which order those cows were milked in.
I don't know, some of it might have been habit.
I think it was habit.
But some of it might have been the ones that gave the most got started off first. Mm. Or
breakfast.
Whatever.
And I think also you would have, you know, we'll milk the Jersey and half of it will go in that churn. And, you know, I think maybe it was in order because you would split
creamy milk.
Yeah,
so that cut it into the churns.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I should have asked my dad why. My dad would get up at 6:30 or whatever and have a cup of tea and bread and butter.
Bread and butter.
Then he would go out and milk the cows. Then they would come in and have breakfast. We would only have cooked breakfast on a weekend.
Really?
Because during the week, my mum would help my dad to milk in the morning. Mm. And before we went to work, to school, me and my sister would lay all the breakfast table, get everything ready for my mum, and they would have porridge and maybe toast or something. Maybe boiled eggs or something, but never bacon and eggs. Because at a weekend, we would used to cook breakfast, Yvonne and I.
So, I mean, this is it's a hard life, isn't it, all this? Very early starts.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it restricted your sort of social life as a young woman, as a young teenager and a young woman with a farm?
Yes, it did, really. I mean, we both learnt to drive, Yvonne and I, as soon as we could. Because that was the only... Because you had to drive to get anywhere. You know, we had to drive to go and see my grandma who lived in Longna. We used to go to the dances in the village hall every Saturday night. But before we could drive, my dad would take us and pick us up. But yes, it does restrict your social life. Or it did then. We had a youth club in Warslow School every week. I think it was a Wednesday.
Right.
So we would go there.
Just completely sort of a different tack, really. But how would you describe this landscape, you know, this landscape that you've grown up in?
I think when I was young, I would have described our farm as having lush meadows with lots of wildflowers, because I noticed the wildflower verge at the 11 Lane Ends when I was coming. Whereas I can't remember the last time I ever saw a meadow filled with wildflowers.
Mm. Did you know what they all were?
Definitely.
How did you learn that? Was that at school or just through talking with your family about seeing them?
Yes, and also 1 year, Yvonne, that was her school sort of homework that in the summer holidays, they had to make a book of wildflowers. Mm. And so that particular year, I think we walked everywhere to get these wild flowers and to press them. And also the land was, I think, was better cared for. You know, the thistles were cut down.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds cruel, but my Uncle Fred also, you know, if we had a load of old molehills, he would sort of try and eradicate the moles.
Mm.
It was definitely, the land was better cared for. Mm.
How would you account for that? What would you say is being done differently now? Because it is, it's a bit of a wildlife desert, to be frank.
It is, isn't it? I think personally with our farm, because it's rented now, isn't it? Or do the farmers live away?
Yeah.
And also, my dad and Uncle Freddie, who used to work on the farm with us, they would build the walls up. They were great dry stone wallers. And if a wall fell down, you know, they would build it back up. Every year, Bon and I, we used to go thistle spudding. Have you seen the big thistle spudders? God, I used to hate that.
It's just another thing that occurs to me as well, that you were helping out with the milking when you were children. But the level of handling that stock had in the past made them a lot safer. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's the lack of handling of stock that's making them actually a bit more dangerous all the time.
It is. Because, as I said to you before, they were, you know, they were tied up in a boskin. But even as a child, you know, when we were milking, you would go up between them and milk them. And really, we didn't have any problems with any cows because you were interacting with them all the time. You know, you were feeding them hay twice a day. You were feeding them corn. You know, you were cleaning the shippings out. Whereas now, we take my young grandson, and there's a farm in Doveridge, and they let all the cows come into this huge yard, and then these cows just line up, basically, and then they just go in and they're milked, and then they walk out. I don't know.
On a conveyor.
Yeah, I don't know what happens, you know. And...
But it's everything from sort of following the cows through the field, wasn't it? Giving them a tap on the backside, keeping them in line, and just working with them, handling them.
And I was just saying, we have some cows in the field opposite, and young calves really. And Noah loves these moos. And I was shouting to them, and Neil says, "Oh, if you want to," I said, "When we were young, we would call our cows; they would come." But everything it was hard labour though, really, because every summer when we let the cows out, every one of those shippings would be. The boskins, I mean, I could...
You'd do whitewashing, wouldn't you?
We would whitewash the walls, but we scrubbed every part of that. Mm. We scrubbed all the boskins. We scrubbed all the standings. They were immaculate. Yeah, they were. You know, by the end of the summer, every shipping that those cows went into, it was hard work. But if you're not sitting on a tractor these days, if you have to use your hands, if you have to use hard labour, I don't think they're interested in it. We didn't have any electricity until I was 13.
Oh, we haven't talked about this yet. Oh, dear.
And when I said, they go, 13? Well, what did you do in the evening? You know, and I said, well.
I tell them at work about the frost we get on the inside of the windows and they don't believe me.
Look, we listened to the radio. We played. We read books. We played games. You know, we didn't just... You know, sit there in the dark doing nothing. No. But you know, we did not have a television in my house till I was 13. No games, you know, we played. And in the summer, I know we had a sand pit, Yvonne and I, and we would go into the hen house and we would take the eggs and we would crack them into the sand and make cakes like my mum used to. For a while.
More pies.
Until she found out. And we couldn't understand why my mum was so cross. In the croft, Yvonne and I used to have tea parties. You know, my mum used to give her best china. Well, I think about it now. And we would, you know, we would have all our dogs around and we would sit there having tea parties, Yvonne and I. I mean, I had a wonderful childhood. I didn't miss the electricity. I didn't know what electricity
was. That's the thing, you didn't know any difference.
No.
You made the most of what you got, didn't you?
Yeah. I think it does, being born here, I have got a great love of the countryside.
Mm.
And I like the silence and to hear the birds. But you can't, you know, you can hardly get that anywhere now, can you?